Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchers on Razzle On.
But we're drunk.
Yes.
That's why I have to talk.
Drunkathon.
Today we're going to be talking about the 1960-something movie that I didn't look up, Doctor Who and the Daleks, starring Peter Cushing and other people that no one remembers.
Because it's not a grand movie.
It's a color movie, which is something. Today we have a shit ton of guests.
We're joined by everyone!
I should say, by the way, we just watched the movie, literally just watched it and played a drinking game, so half of us are drunk. Today with us, we have in the studio, which, by the way, we're in Omaha. We all road tripped to Omaha. With us today, we have to our immediate right, we have Chris Cherry. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Oh, you bastard.
I'm nothing if not hacky.
You might remember him from The Edge of Destruction and The Time Meddler.
Nope.
Behind Chris is Jez Layman of How to Grow the Fuck Up.
Just
and
Jez.
That adult filled.
Yeah, just Jez.
Just Jez?
Just one we name. Had a whole conversation about it on the ride
okay.
over here.
All right. Mm-hmm. So it's just Jez of How to Grow the Fuck Up and That Adult Filled. Say hello, Jez.
Hello, Internet.
From California, we have cartoonist extraordinaire, Ray Friesen. Say hello, Ray.
I'm ignoring my wife and child to do this. They're both sick.
Charming.
And that's rayfriesen.com. All the way from Sweden, the very, very sleepy Vincent E.L. Say hello, Vince.
Hello. I probably sound drunker than anyone else in here, but I'm just sleepy and Swedish.
He did not drink
sober.
Any.
He's just in a different time zone.
And unexpected guest, our very first patron.
You can't remember her name because you're drunk.
It's Melissa. It's Melissa.
Melissa last name.
Melissa last name. I don't know if she wants to say her last name. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello.
I thought it was Von Silverwolf.
Yes, my last name is Silverwolf.
We everybody's been on the show before except for Melissa. So Melissa, give us a little bit of an introduction about yourself.
I'm Australian. I tumble, if you call it that. I'm on Tumblr at Malice Rewatches Doctor Who.
I follow that blog. It's fantastic.
I'm rewatching Doctor Who from the start. I'm halfway through the chase. I'm going to continue it on today. I couldn't do it the past few days.
You're
going
to pass us at some point.
I should pass you at some point, unless I'm really slowed down, yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a point where I'm like, well, I can't read your blog anymore until we get caught up.
Yeah, spoilers.
So I'll have to like keep at a pace that the pace we're going at.
So she's going to win.
Oh, win.
She's going to win.
She's going to be the winner.
It really is whoever gets the survival first. Whoever gets that final, like, pan up.
I don't know what you're talking. Is that the last seventh serial?
Yeah, it's the last seventh.
Somewhere else, the tea's getting cold.
We're joined by special guest star David Tennant.
Nobody can see that, Ray. This is an audio podcast.
Turn your pictures on. They're great.
Podcast listeners, turn your
video on.
So we just watched
Doctor Who and the Daleks. Which came out in 19...
I'm making visual jokes.
I think it's 65.
I have the, like, DVD cover on me and it does not say. Yes, I do actually own this.
It's 65, I'm pretty sure.
Vince knows. 65. I'm going to be honest, oh, nice. I couldn't even, like, sit and, like, recount, like, what happened in order.
Okay, yeah, let's just dive right into this. Stuff happens.
Merry Christmas!
Well, it's similar to the first Dalek serial.
It's basically the Daleks.
The intro is really regal. It's, like, way too long.
And very 60s and groovy.
It's way 60s.
I feel like we're going to watch, like, the Pink Panther or James Bond or something. There needed to have been more Thal go-go dancers.
Like,
You said it was porn music.
Yeah, it was kind of porny.
Again, it's just 60s music.
Well, the 60s were all about
sounds like porn
getting
music.
It on.
Free love.
Reasonably priced love.
And reasonably priced music, I would assume. Which is probably why it sounded like that.
As soon as we get out of the porn music, we fly through meeting everyone. It's because like, here's this.
It's because their characters are not important.
Their characters are completely established by reading oversized books.
Physics and science for science.
One of which is the science of science.
That's Barbara's book, right?
Yes.
That's Barbara.
Susan is reading, advanced physics for you. Which is like,
physics for the intellectual or something.
It's huge. The book weighed more than Susan.
This is the thing that's most amazing to me. Because in these movies, in these Daleks movies, the Doctor and Susan are definitely resolutely human. Yet, Susan is so much more alien than she ever was on the show. It's like that one scene in Men in Black where Will Smith is like, that's definitely an alien because she is reading science books that are way too advanced.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing.
In this movie, that's definitely Susan.
And our very first shot is already like contradicting the show. Like, Susan is like 8, I don't know, she's like 12 years old.
She's so not small, a you guys.
She's tiny.
Yeah.
She's just a
put her in your pocket.
And wearing a dress.
Yeah.
A jumper. I had to wear one of those. I went to Catholic school.
It's weird because, like, Susan...
Sorry, Tony.
Susan has sort of, like, the characteristics of Barbara, but Barbara has the characteristics of Susan.
Barbara has the hair of Susan.
Barbara has the hair of Susan, and Barbara does nothing.
Barbara was, like, completely redundant.
I mean, there is no reason for any of Team TARDIS to really be involved in the movie at all, but Barbara particularly so.
She was useless.
The entire point of Barbara is almost to be like, let's get Ian
here.
Because
she's Ian bait.
Barbara is reading the science of science, though she shows no interest at all in science.
Or anything.
And the Doctor is reading comics.
I think Barbara has like 10 lines in this whole thing.
And screaming.
Which is another reason she's sort of Susan's character, because she screams about as much as Susan.
Can we talk
and
about
Susan
how...
Really scream. Susan's super competent.
We played a drinking game while... That's why we're all not sober. And the rule that we drank the most on was every time Ian does a pratfall... We drank eight times on that. So many times.
Yes.
But like 3 times within like the first couple of minutes. And I was like, this is going to be okay. This is going to be fun.
He literally fell through their front door.
He really did. It was a pratfall that he did that caused the TARDIS to move in the first place.
To move in the first place.
Like, the plot is put into gear by like Ian pratfalling.
I still think the end was hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, Ian is definitely set up... I mean, in the show, he's kind of goofy. But I don't feel like he is, like...
There's no action
Ian. Full-on Dick Van Dyke. Yeah, there's no action Ian, really. It's all just goofball. Like, in the show, if, like, when Ian is confronted with where he something he has to like, take charge, Ian will fucking take charge. He might not be great at it, but he's like, I'm gonna do this because that's my job. But in this movie, anytime that Ian has to take charge, he's like... What?
Me?
Me?
Shouldn't we send Susan? Yeah. The 8-year-old?
I think I'll hide behind this Thal guy. He's got a cute butt.
Yes.
Oh, so can we, let's talk about the Thals. Let's talk about them.
Let's just skip right to the Thals.
The Thal were fabulous.
The Thals were amazing. I want their shoes. Give me their shoes.
If you want to know the plot of this episode, go listen to the Daleks episode again.
Right, no, so we'll say that. This episode is based on a first actor serial.
The Daleks.
The Daleks, which we've
already covered.
You guys already know about that.
We've covered it, and we were sober, so if you want a, like, coherent recounting of the plot.
It's pretty much the same with... I wouldn't say better pacing, just faster pacing.
Very fast.
Oh, guys, very fast.
Like we were the first couple minutes in, and it's like, we're already
on Skaro.
Yeah.
We don't know who these people are.
But, I mean, it's still suffering from that problem of being fast when it doesn't need to be fast, and being not so fast when it should be fast. So it's not like it really had better pacing, it just had faster pacing. In general.
We still watched them climb up a mountain for like 15 fucking minutes. Like
it literally like did a fade out and a fade back in to the same fucking scene.
And they were just slightly higher up. And that was it.
They just lost some footage and had to cut.
I swear that scene was just an excuse to just check out everyone's butts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was just there to be like
fun with bum. bums.
There were some nice butts.
Butt time.
The Thal's butts were nice. Barbara's butts was butts. Barbara's butts.
Both of Barbara's butts. Both of Barbara's
butts was, you know.
Who had the best butt, really?
Probably one of the Thals.
Oh, and have we talked about the fact that Barbara now is a granddaughter of Doctor Who?
We haven't, no.
Have we talked about the fact that Doctor Who's name is Doctor Who?
No.
That's his name.
I don't feel like Who is a very British surname.
So are we to assume that Susan's name is Susan Who and Barbara's name is Barbara Who?
Yes.
They lived down in Whoville.
Well, no, wait. That depends.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, because, like, they're the granddaughter, so their mother or father could be,
Right, the name could have changed.
Their father could have a different last name.
But do they live with him?
What happened to their parents?
And also, how old is Barbara? That she's living with her grandfather and is like, oh, Ian's coming over for a date to, like, pick me up.
So that's the same, by the way. Ian and Barbara are an item.
So, like, officially now.
But, yeah, like, officially, right. Whereas it is always sort of hinted at.
But, like, how old is Barbara?
Like,
that living situation is odd.
People were more shy in the 60s. It took longer to get anywhere.
Ian seems way older than Barbara, too.
I know. I feel like Barbara in this movie could have been anywhere from 17 to 27.
The other thing about Barbara is her hair.
It's so tall.
Too many hair.
It's so big.
It's like a cartoon version of the hair from the show.
Yeah.
Yes. It has a life of its own.
I would have rather this was a cartoon.
It's that sort of beehive thing, like that bulbous beehive, but bulbouser.
It's full-on hairspray hair.
It's like Marge Simpson hair. It's like you took Barbara and Susan's hair and stacked them on top of each other.
No, inside of each other. It's like you take Barbara's hair and you stuff Susan's hair inside of it.
Her hair is bigger on the outside.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's full of so many secrets.
That's why it's so big.
She should have been like pulling stuff out of her hair that they use to escape from situations.
Yeah, science stuff.
That'd be a nice trick.
Science hair. The science of science hair.
The science of science of hair.
She scienced me with science.
That's Scientology.
So yeah, the doctor is human, and he has two granddaughters, and it's Susan and Barbara.
And a mustache.
A delightful mustache.
And Ian is
pretty
good.
He's turning into the master.
The date that just sort of stumbles in. Like, that's our setup.
Literally stumbles in.
Right, he was leaning against the door while waiting for it to open.
He trips so much. No, but, like, Peter Cushing...
He's a trip.
He be tripping.
Fuck all of you. Every single one of you, of the 20 of you that are talking right now.
What did you want to say about Peter Cushing?
Peter Cushing. Let's talk about Peter Cushing's doctor. Peter Cushing is doing an admirable impression of William Hartnell.
Yes.
Like, he's very clearly doing that, which I, like, is sort of interesting because, and I was thinking about this, when this came out, there was no other way to play the Doctor. Like, now when we think about the Doctor, there's, like, all these different ways to play the Doctor because so many people have done it. But when this movie came out, the Doctor was a very specific character, and it was just what William Hartnell had done. Huh. So, like, of course he was doing what William Hartnell would do, because there's no other way to play the Doctor. So he's doing a very admirable William Hartnell impression.
But now there is.
But he was Hartnell, but he was a better Hartnell than Hartnell.
No, he wasn't.
Because he got his lines right.
No! No!
That's the charm of Hartnell.
You don't come to Hartnell for correct lines. That's not what he's for.
He's not as broad as Hartnell also. He's a lot more subtle than Hartnell. Because he doesn't do the giggling and the He doesn't do those things.
I think that's because of the mustache.
But that's the best of art.
Right. Can we talk about the acting, though, in general? How, like, they would cut away to reactions and it's just like,
nothing.
We're staring at the camera.
I am acting.
My God.
Barbara's eye roll. We saw it twice.
It's the Jim Halpert version.
Barbara's eye roll, yeah, they do it twice. Close up, wide, we gotta make sure we do it in both.
It's the most facial expressions she had in the whole fucking movie.
It's as much she did in the whole movie.
Speaking of facial expressions, what about those Dalek conversation scenes?
Exposition Daleks.
Oh, they were dynamite.
The Daleks talked to other Daleks for way too long, and you couldn't understand them at all.
In static shots, where they did not move. You got one Dalek and another Dalek. Still camera.
Ooh, our favorite Dalek shot. Our favorite Dalek camera shot.
Oh, the nipple shot.
The Dalek bumps.
They're etheric beam locators, Joe.
The frog's eye view.
It's a low angle shot from like underneath of a Dalek, which...
Again, I said this when we were watching it, but like I have been watching Doctor Who for a long time. I have seen so much Doctor Who.
So many.
I have never in my life seen a shot of a Dalek from that angle. Like a low angle, a super low angle shot of a Dalek from below, just like... Look at this Dalek.
You should never take a selfie from below.
That's what I said when we were watching it. I was like, Dalek, that is a terrible way to take selfies. Didn't anyone ever tell you that? You look huge.
He's trying to take the best picture for his Dalek bumps.
He's trying to make them look bigger.
Yep.
Do Daleks need profile pics? I mean, how are you going to tell them apart?
Well, you're telling them apart in this one because they're blue and yellow.
Yellow and black and red.
But there was like five that were the same blue and yellow color scheme. I don't know if it was ranks or Dalek ethnicities.
It seemed to be
like
ranks.
It must have been, because at one point, the Dalek was talking to a room full of blue Daleks only.
Yeah, I feel like blues are like the worker.
Well, I also feel like it was like, hey, this isn't color. Put everything in color. Color is amazing.
Just hang random, like, sheets of fabric on the walls for no reason, just because they're in bright colors.
Yeah,
we need some lava lamps.
I deco Daleks.
I loved the Dalek art, the Dalek interior decorating.
Daleks had everything decorated. These are interior decorator Daleks. They have an interior design culture.
You will admire our feng shui.
And the Thal have a fashion-based culture. So it's fashion versus interior design.
You know how, like, after a certain period of time, every sci-fi movie had those, like, weird circular, like, electronic lightning things that you get at Spencer Gifts?
Yeah.
And, like, that was the thing that, like, everything... Like,
speaking of, it literally had lava lamps.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying. Like,
there were so many lava lamps.
You can order them from the Science of Science catalog.
The lava lamps are the 60s version of that.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, throw a lava lamp in there. That'll look science-y. So the Daleks just have, like, lava lamps all over their spaceship.
This movie feels super 60s.
Wait, we haven't talked about the inside of the TARDIS, by the way.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's awful.
I hate that inside of the TARDIS.
Health and safety nightmare.
The budget for this movie was higher than for the show, right? That budget did not go into the TARDIS set.
It looks like the most poorly wired mess that, like, I just expected it to, like, catch in the flames at any moment.
Again, it looked like the garage from Primer.
It looked like a school play.
When you were outside the TARDIS, you could see all four walls inside the TARDIS because of how it was lit up.
Like, the TARDIS seems flimsier than the TV show TARDIS.
It's tiny.
Yeah, it was just a black room with a bunch of crap in it.
Yeah, the TARDIS on the TV show feels like a solid thing, but in the movie it feels like you could knock it over at any time.
It's just black walls. And a black floor. It's just a black box theater with crap hanging on the walls.
The doors are the doors inside, though.
Yes, the doors are, I gotta say, the doors of the TARDIS are an improvement because they fucking make sense.
They match.
They match.
The doors look like doors.
Yeah.
It was also fun to see the first Doctor's TARDIS in color because it was like seeing 11 and 12's TARDIS.
Yeah.
Because it had the little, like, St. John's thing.
St. John's ambulance. Anybody know what that means exactly? Why is it a police ambulance?
I have no idea.
I don't have an answer.
You know, there's also no reason for it to be a time machine except for the gag at the end.
Well, there's no reason for it to be a police box in this. There's no chameleon circuit situation.
Yeah, they don't explain that.
He just stole a police box from off the street because he didn't have enough wood.
It's very Back to the Future. You built a time machine out of a police box?
Aren't the real police boxes made of concrete?
I have no idea.
Inside, it looked like it was concrete.
Yeah, the real ones are made of concrete. You would have had fun dragging that home.
There's really no standardization amongst the real ones. They were just whatever the local police force could come up with. There's, like, no two are alike, pretty much.
Ray, is that a thing that you know, Or a thing you just made up?
When I went to England, I went to several different police boxes and they were all different. I mean, they're all boxes that say police. Most of them are blue. Some of them are green.
There's green ones?
I've seen red ones too.
The green ones are in Scotland, I believe.
This is the educational corner of the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Ray facts!
Ray facts! Ray facts!
Ray facts!
You gonna send me a fax?
K-Pax! Wait, what are we talking about?
Is anybody else now expecting 12 to change the color of his TARDIS?
Also, I have a TARDIS in my backyard that was a wedding present. Joe can confirm this. And much like mine, the TARDIS in this movie, the door locks suck because the Talls just pushed their way in. Mine is like that too. Like, I lock it and then I'll come back outside and the wind will have blown the doors open. And there's cats and spiders inside.
Your TARDIS is now significantly more accurate.
Well, that's also a difference. The lock on the TARDIS between the movie and the episode is totally different.
Yeah, they just walked right in.
Yeah. There's no...
They barged in.
Exactly. In the show, the assembled hordes of Genghis Khan could not get through that door. In the movie, just anyone. David Bowie, anyone.
We haven't talked about the Thals yet.
Glittery David Bowie. Let's just talk about how 60s this movie is in general, because you got,
I just want to talk about this
song. Hippies, and it's like, I don't know, you got David Bowie's, and there's literally scene.
We haven't talked about, we keep saying David Bowie's. No one said why we're talking about, that's what the Thals look like. They came on screen and it was like, holy shit. They had the most handsome faces with the most beautiful makeup I'd ever seen.
And they're wearing all, like, these gold...
And that hair!
Their, like, lip gloss matched their hair color, matched their unitards.
Yeah. And they had some sweet-ass shoes.
And capes.
Pointy shoes.
I want those shoes.
I think everybody wants those shoes.
I also want to point out that there's literally a scene where the TARDIS crew lounge around and do drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Drugs, take a drink. Drugs, take a drink.
They didn't even call it medicine. They called it drugs.
And there's also two types.
Did they explain that it was anti-radiation gloves?
Yeah. Well, they said drugs, but yeah.
I think they were gloves. Yeah.
They get them from some... I didn't quite follow the plot. I just knew most of it.
Yeah.
Well, they find a little square checkbook in the middle of the forest, and Ian dances around it for about 45 seconds, and then they find the drugs inside.
It's amazing, because it's just a box.
But Barbara told him to be careful.
And literally what happens to Susan is like, what the hell are you doing? And just picks up the box. And he runs and he hides on like Barbara's shoulder. And Susan's like, it's a box.
Again,
he gropes Barbara.
He hides in like Barbara's bosom.
Who was it that called Ian a coward?
After like feeling her own.
That was Susan.
Yeah. Susan called Ian a coward.
But yeah, Ian grabs Barbara's crotch to begin with to stop her from touching the box. And then once Susan grabs the box, dives right into her boobs. It literally happens.
That happens.
He is very forward for a first date.
For a first date into the past, or another planet.
That's during this part, Barbara just looks annoyed, like, this is not what I had planned for today.
This date is not going well. I will not be asking him out again.
This planet is poorly lit.
Don't call it that green.
Yeah, everything was green.
There's
a scene where the...
It's like you colored it, Joe. Everything's green and purple.
That's a joke that only you understand.
Yay!
I help color things for Ray, and my go-to color is to make things green and purple.
I mean, explain that Ray is a cartoonist.
Yeah.
I think so.
Joe loves making everything green and purple. It's very endearing and stupid.
Joe, are you secretly the Joker?
Yes, and also the Hulk. Though there's a scene where all the Thals are in this green forest, and I swear they look like the Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yeah, because of the lighting.
The lighting and their costumes.
I liked when Ian fell and crushed the alligator.
Oh, right! So in the serial, there's the petrified, they land and they're like, everything's dead, which the doctor did say.
It's nighttime.
I don't know if we took a drink.
What have you done?
Ian didn't do a lot of asserting that things were alive or dead, did he?
No, he didn't. He just sort of fell a lot.
That's a shame. A damn shame.
He did fall on a thing that was dead.
He did, and made it way more dead. And then did like this like hammy like, oh, I did the thing, and like slapping it, and like, oh, whoops, trying to like get a like an armrest going on.
There was a lot of awkward shtick from Ian.
Yeah, it was super awkward. But yeah, he like trips and falls and he like crushes this like creature, which one creature, we don't see any other petrified creatures. We don't see any other creatures at all. We get hints at the water beast. Like, we got more. I feel like the show itself did better at the water beast.
They have lots of invisible dragons on this planet.
The water beast in the show, you at least saw like a whirlpool and shit. In this movie, all you see are bubbles.
Blub, 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 blub.
Menacing bubbles.
In a, like a 2-foot deep pond where you can totally see the bottom.
No, I wanted to see the giant mud skipper.
Yeah, but we don't. We don't see anything.
So this movie is not really an improvement on the TV show.
Other than it's in color.
And faster, sort of.
They hung lots of bath shower sheets on the wall. Shower
the
curtains.
The Dalek, like, control panel that rolls is pretty sweet. Like, it rolls, like Chris said, it was like The Price is Right.
The Price is Right, yes. Yeah.
There's a lot of very cool moving set pieces in the Daleks' layer place.
I still want to know how they got the televisions up on the ceiling, practically.
I will say,
every other set piece got broken.
About this movie, they have thought more about the Daleks actually controlling technology than anyone else ever has. Because some of the Daleks have pincers, and, like, things move so Daleks can reach them. Except for that one door that is operated by sitting on it.
What the fuck is up with that?
I will never get that door.
There's, like, a Zelda style, you have to slide a block onto it in order to open the door.
It's Why video does game that exist? Logic.
He needed a companion cube.
A Dalek can't open that.
You have to set another Dalek on that.
But they can't get up on it.
Well, they need to push a button and it drops the cube, and then they lift up the cube and they move the cube and they put the cube on the thing.
They have pinchers. Or maybe it's just they knew Thals could never figure that out, and so they were safe from Thals that way.
I don't think the Thals were that stupid, which takes a lot.
Well, the Thals were pretty stoned.
The Daleks, though.
The Daleks,
though, are all about revealing stuff. So you got the wall that rolls. You have another wall that goes up to reveal a door.
And then you have the rocks.
Yeah, there's these like cliffs that everybody climbs down throughout the movie.
Those rocks were cool.
And the rocks slide apart and reveal
the blew my mind. I mean, I know that I'm like drunk, but I was like, the rocks. They climbed up and down those rocks. They open.
I love just the Daleks probably spend a couple weeks making giant paper mache rocks to cover their door. Like their little Dalek sculptors mushing all those into shape.
Well, they are the artistic ones.
Yeah. Let the record show that Tony's falling down laughing.
And I'm falling asleep.
What did the rocks coming apart accomplish?
It just surprised everyone.
They couldn't climb up.
One dude fell in.
I think it was just to stop the Thals from getting into the city.
Yeah, They couldn't climb on anything because it was suddenly too vertical.
So then why did they make fake rocks that were easily climbable in the first place?
And also, I gotta say,
it was all part of their plan.
To fit with the rest of the, jungle? Are they in a jungle? Are they in a forest? Who knows? It's petrified.
Because sometimes... Sometimes they have to send people out, like Susan.
Like Susan. Which is the other thing. When they send Susan in the serial, it's kind of like, all right, Susan has to go because Ian can't walk and whatever. In this one, it's like, Barbara, why are you letting them send the 8-year-old? Barbara, do something. Barbara, are you there? Are you alive? Are you awake?
I'm not.
No. Like, according to her
reaction. Susan
just
needed some alone time.
Again, Barbara is bound by the rule, the implicit rule of this episode, that Barbara can't actually do anything.
Except scream.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, she has to send Susan.
None of them got sick.
In the serial, they were all very sick, and that's why they couldn't go.
It was as if the screenwriter took a self-challenge of, like, okay, I'm going to have this character who does nothing, and then just stick to that through the whole thing and just try to come up with ways in which to have that character not do anything.
But here's the thing. Team TARDIS doesn't need to be there at all. Like, at the end, they're like, oh, Doctor, you saved us. Thank you so much. And it's like, he didn't, though.
He gave them, like, a 4-second warning that the Daleks were not being nice to them.
Also, they tried to do the mirror thing that happens in the serial, but they explain it even less in the movie.
Right. They don't explain it at
no
all.
Sense. No, they and it doesn't confuse the sensors.
I feel like it doesn't even matter.
Right, it doesn't.
It still makes about as much sense.
So there's just a scene where a whole bunch of Thals have mirrors, and it's not explained.
And it's just like, so you see, we're doing this because we did it in the serial. That's why the scene is happening.
They're just very proud of those mirrors. They worked hard on them.
Okay, I gotta say, in the serial, I thought them going around the back way in and it was stupid because everybody got in the front way at the same time, and people died by going in the back way. But in this movie, it's the opposite. I feel like going in the back way was smart because it worked out. But going in the front way was stupid and didn't make any fucking sense.
And he didn't die.
Yeah, the guy who killed himself did not die in the movie.
The guy who looked like Michael Ian Black.
What was his name? Antidus?
I don't know, something like that.
He did ruin their rope.
Did anybody else think it sucked that he lived?
A little bit. Yeah. I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, because he was so pissy about it. He was like pissy the whole time.
He's like, is anybody going to come down here and save my ass?
Yeah, I didn't want to jump stuff.
They throw the rope at him and he makes this face of just disgust. Utter disgust at everything that's happening.
How dare you throw this rope at him?
He's so...
He doesn't move to catch it. He doesn't respond. He just lets it hit him full force.
He lets it hit him right in the face.
When they get inside the Dalek place, the Dalek comes out and shoots him, and the only thing that the Thal does is throw the rope at the Dalek.
He throws it. But listen... He, like, in the serial, he cuts the rope and he falls to his death, and it's sad. And this one, like, we've all seen it. So he cuts the rope and he falls, and it cuts away to something else happens. And then it cuts back, and he's like, I'm fine! I just fell, like, a couple of feet! And so we're all like, what the hell? No, you're dead! This is stupid!
It just sounds like it seems like an obstinate actor who saw the serial and was like, nope.
I'm gonna stay.
Just like, no, hey, guys, I'm fine.
Let go of the cliff and fall to your death, please.
I know what it says in the script, but I'm fine.
You know what it was? In the serial, there was more Thals there. But then, like, in the movie, they're like, oh shit, we only have two Thals here. We can't just have one Thal.
Weird, because in general, they have more Thals. Like, the first time they show, like, the Thals, like...
Other than that one guy... It's like a shit ton.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, it actually seems like a whole community village of people.
A swarm of Thals.
There's also more than one woman.
Yeah, there's no Smurfette Thal.
I don't know what I was going to say.
And they all lived happily ever after.
We drank alcohol.
I want to point out that this doctor has a quirk. He likes to wink a lot.
Overactive winking syndrome. Not to be confused with overactive wanking syndrome.
Oh, God. He does that, what, twice?
Oh, more than twice.
He winks at Susan when he's like, oh, I'm going to lie to these people and tell them that my ship's broke. Winkity wink.
Wink?
And then the other time is when he takes Ian's scene, where Ian, in the serial, Ian is like trying to rile up the Thals to, you know, attack the Daleks or whatever. But in this one, it's the Doctor. And then, like, Ian's like, what the fuck are you doing? And the Doctor's just like, wink.
It's Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's Doctor Who, sorry. Doctor Who.
My wife likes to say anytime science comes up on Doctor Who, she always says it's Doctor Who, not Doctor How. Which I think is pretty appropriate.
Oh, so the Doctor gets Ian's bit, and Ian gets Barbara's bit of, like, hooking up with a Thal.
Yeah, he wants that Thal bad.
But he wants that Thal booty. Same Thal.
It was the same character, but...
He wants that Thal booty.
It's because Barbara gets nothing, so Ian gets the Barbara plot of hanging out with a Thal and wanting to do that.
He wanted that.
Way more into it than Barbara was, too.
He gets the Thal cape, and he, like, does this, twirl.
He knew he wasn't doing very well with Barbara. Like, the date was not going well.
Yeah, the most emotion she ever expressed was rolling her eyes at him.
Twice.
Look, the other Thal just lost his boyfriend.
Plus, I mean, the Thals had those low-cut shirts and everything. Yeah.
They just had vests.
Barbara had the opposite of cleavage.
But just vests.
Very cleavage-heavy vests.
Oh, yeah. And great shoes.
The best
just
shoes.
Just amazing shoes.
The best shoes.
The Daleks had more cleavage.
Like, I feel like we've not talked about the Daleks hardly
at
all.
Let's talk about the one time you actually kind of see the, like, hand of the Dalek, and it's actually kind of gross. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
Yeah, they scoop the Dalek out with a cloth over it so you can't see it at all. And Ian's just like, oh, no, I'm not touching this.
Someone got that Mogwai food after midnight.
He's making a gremlin joke.
I heard. I got it.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everyone.
I thought he was making like a 90s.
Yeah, this it's Christmas.
Like it's a 90s post-rock joke.
God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone.
Bless you twice. Go to YouTube and search for Underneath the Mistletoe Last Night.
No.
Xmas rap.
Nope.
This podcast is going to be unlistenable.
No, I think it's going
to
be fun.
It's my mission to make it unlistenable because I am unable to listen to people.
Future you is going to be pissed.
I thought I was making it unlistenable by butting into everybody's conversations.
It's fine because it's not an ordinary... It's a special.
This is a special.
It's so special!
I'm glad everyone's here. I love everyone.
I love everyone,
I'll probably separate people out a bit.
Not us four.
I love some people twice.
Yeah, but we haven't been talking over each other as much. I've been listening.
Merry
Christmas! Joe, make us funny! Make us really funny!
Every one of us.
We talk about how sweaty Ian was.
The whole time.
From the very first moment he showed up.
Oh, he sticks his face in the water and then opens his eyes.
Who does that? Who's like, I'm going to wash my face with my eyes wide open.
Again, it was like the Two Towers.
What exactly did he see in the water? Did he say what he saw in the water?
No, he didn't say what he saw down there. I think he just said, I saw something. It's like, yeah, you saw fish maybe. Calm down.
Calm your tits, Ian.
There are dead things in the water.
Anybody else say anything about the Doctor, Doctor Who, reading comic books at the start?
Yeah, he's reading The Eagle.
The Eagle?
That's an actual comic cool magazine.
That was the punchline. It was a visual punchline. It was like, science, more science, comic books.
That's nice.
It's funny because he's old.
For the actual scientist.
Well, he already knew all the science, so he could just take five.
He made a time machine in his backyard.
And it looks like a police box for no reason.
He didn't, though. I bet it was Susan. It was Susan who invented the time machine, and the Doctor is just covering. Doctor Who's just covering.
That is true. In this version of Doctor Who, Susan is running the show.
Right.
Like, she's the only competent one, to be honest.
Like, there's okay. So let's talk about this. So the Daleks make her write a letter to the Thal saying, "Hey, free food."
She steals their.
She
pen.
She steals the pen.
The ballpoint pen, because it has a Dalek ball.
That was Melissa's joke.
Sorry, I didn't mean to steal it. I just really liked it.
No, that was mine.
She uses it to tear off the camera, and they later use that camera to plug up the
Dalek gun.
Which
doesn't even make any sense.
Those cameras were great. They were there at the beginning. They were walking down the hallway, and all these little, like, Dalek eye stalks are sticking up out of the wall, and then they slowly move to watch the people. I said they're like the Dalek equivalent of, like, eye holes cut out of paintings.
What about the mine that Susan and Ian were doing to communicate about digging out the actual camera?
Yeah,
nobody knew what the fuck they were talking about.
No one could understand what the hell they were doing there.
I was like, you want to stick what up the Dalek's ass? I don't.
Either that, it was Ian's.
I don't think the Daleks would like that.
I don't think Daleks have asses, but everyone else in this movie does.
Everyone else in this movie is
asses?
Is an ass, yes.
Okay. This movie is just a collective ass.
Sometimes figuratively, sometimes literally. Like when they're crawling up mountains.
It's a collection of asses.
It was a simpler time.
The 60s, definitely.
Someone producing this movie or directing it loved asses.
You want to make
so
sure
many.
All the costumes would just accentuate the ass.
That's how they hired people, too. That was the casting call.
It's fun when you're watching a movie and you become aware that the director has a fetish that you don't share.
Who said I didn't share it?
I was going to say, oh, yeah. Doctor Who in The Doctor
that
and Dad Ass.
That ass.
Ass terminate. And that's it. That's the movie.
Did they make a porno of that?
If there's something you like, there's a porn of it.
In my almost not being awakeness, have you guys talked about the ending not being an ending?
We haven't got to the ending yet.
Yeah,
because
the time they spent on Earth was 2 minutes at the beginning and like 45 seconds at the end.
Wait, did they go back to the Earth at the end?
Yeah.
In the serial, at the end, they kind of resolve something before they leave. And, you know, they kind of defeat the Daleks and they kind of, you know.
Do they curtain call?
I just remember Ian being super Dick Van Dyke and just, like, touching things.
No, okay, here's what happens. Because they don't. Vince is bringing something up that's important. In the serial, they're like, here's the solution to the problem. In the movie, they're like, well, we're going to leave now. And the Thals are like, thank you for saving us. And they're like, you're welcome. We didn't do anything, but you're welcome, I guess.
And the Thals were all lined up. They were, like, lined up in a big square around them so they couldn't get out.
They were holding hands.
Oh, and everyone got a cloak. Ian danced with his.
Yeah,
he was like, look at how good my cloak looks.
Oh, yeah, they gave him cloaks, and the cloaks were amazing.
They were amazing. But then that's when what Chris was talking about happens.
They're like, well, time to go back home.
But they land, and they open the doors, and it's not home.
It's a really bad stock footage clip.
Roman's walking towards the TARDIS, and, like, walking over
the TARDIS.
The TARDIS.
They're running at the TARDIS.
Maybe that's why he was extra scared, because they were giant Romans.
Like, the TARDIS had gotten shrunk, like, in Flatline.
Maybe they're at the Planet of the Giants now.
He practically lost his mind at the end.
I was going to say, and Ian's reaction to this is to just become the most ridiculous exaggeration of what a human being ought to be.
Like a bunch of walnuts are going to fall on him.
I wish he could have said Wimby Wham Wham Wazzle.
It's a Dick Van Dyke joke.
I don't know anything about
that.
And
what's bad is, like, he's doing the bit, and the movie's like, he's not gonna stop. Let's just fade out.
Right.
No credits. The end.
And roll credits.
But, like, no one else reacts to it. Like, everyone else should have also seen Romans.
They were looking directly at it.
They were, yeah. But they're just like, what is he doing? And he's just like, there's Romans, you guys!
Okay, so that's at least something... That is something that the
yes, time madness.
That's something that the movie has in common with the show is that people have no, like, ability to see things right the fuck in front of them or slightly to the side. Because, yeah, there's that. They don't see what's out of the door. Earlier, they do the thing where they hide around the corner of a door, and these two Daleks just come by, don't see them.
Well, Daleks do have poor peripheral vision.
Though I will say that the climactic sort of battle was more interesting in this than it was in the show.
Yeah.
You can see what's happening for one.
Yeah, and there's like some nice little, there is at least choreography of some kind.
Also, Daleks can just shoot fire at things, so that helped.
Yeah, they tried to Jedi their way through the door. That was pretty cool.
A lot of the choreography just involved, let's point the Daleks at something that's not us. Let's point Daleks at other Daleks. And then, like, Ian dives and they just completely destroy their control panel instead of Ian.
They, like, manhandle the Daleks. It's crazy.
And then when they all die, which doesn't really get explained, they just all sort of stop. They don't sort of say, we destroyed their thing. Or maybe they did, I couldn't hear.
We give up.
I think it was the static electricity. It stopped the static electricity so they couldn't move.
They just stopped him by rubbing their shoe on their hair.
And then Barbara just goes around and slowly turns every Dalek's head just to check.
I didn't do anything
this whole movie, but I'm going to do this.
It's dead, Jim.
The Doctor doesn't do anything either, really.
No, he just sort of hung around.
He burnt the cake.
He stood on his little interrogation podium. I like that, the interrogation platform.
Yeah, and he made that one... the mirror thing, which still doesn't make any sense. I still don't understand what that means or how it works. It's the only active thing he did the whole episode.
Really, no one does anything.
He held Susan's hand a lot. His big role was holding Susan's hand when she wasn't busy running off doing stuff.
They're pulling a Raiders of the Lost Ark where the protagonists really have no bearing on the conclusion of the film.
So I feel like we've pretty much summed up the entirety of the movie.
Have we?
I feel like we have said everything that needs to be said and simultaneously barely scratched the surface.
I feel like this is going to be a bitch for you to edit.
I think it's going to be fine.
How long have we been talking?
Four, 49 minutes.
Really? It feels like 10.
Joe, you should edit the podcast drunk.
That would probably be a disaster.
50 minutes I've been recording, I think.
57 for me, Raymond.
50.
Is there any other scenes we need to talk about before we go into final thoughts?
Final thoughts! Final thoughts! Final
I don't
thoughts!
Even know if I have any
We're
thoughts.
We're in it now. Three people did the theme song. We're in it.
I think those were all the scenes. The Daleks had black and white televisions.
They have black and white televisions. There's another thing I want to say. The leader Dalek was black, which is sort of in canon, right? Black Dalek is sort of the leader.
Was it the sciencey one that was red? The one that's only job was to count down the countdown.
We didn't talk about that.
That Greek numbered countdown.
You guys remember.
He has one job on this ship. Stupid. Gonna do it.
You guys remember the original countdown in the serial? Where, what does it even start at?
Like 30, maybe?
Like, no, I think it's like 60. And you hear the entire fucking thing from 60 down to 1. You hear the whole thing. In this one, there's a screen and the numbers are kind of, which they start at 100, but they actually thankfully cut away from this one. They start at 100 and there's a screen and it's counting down and there's just one Dalek who's like, 98, I almost started counting up. But he counts down. He reads the screen. That's it. That's his job. That's all he does is he reads the numbers that are counting down.
And the clock stops on 3 instead of 1.
And Ian
says, that's my lucky number. And he smiles and it's so cute.
Like the biggest goober of all time in space.
He's so happy about it.
That's another thing. Ian, like literally everything Ian says is in the exact same tone. No matter what he's talking about.
Oh,
he never like varies.
That was the thing
his
that
cadence.
I wanted to talk about.
I am acting.
So in this one, Doctor Who has to admit that he lied about the, whatever the part's called.
The mercury thing, the something link.
The fluid link.
Fluid link, yeah.
He admits that he lied about it, and Ian's just kind of like, well, I guess we gotta find a way off this planet. And it's like, you have no reaction to that at all? None?
Don't feel betrayal or
shock
or anything?
Feel like mad?
He's just like, all right, let's go back to the ship.
And then a little ice sock grows out of his forehead, and he is a Dalek the whole time.
Spoilers.
That makes perfect sense.
I don't think he's in the next movie.
We'll never know.
No, he's not. Benny Cribbins takes over. I've got, Dalek Invasion Earth 2150 AD.
Let's do it. Let's watch it now.
Let's go, go, go.
I've got it.
That'll be our next.
Alright,
okay, I think we've covered everything. I want everybody to do final thoughts.
Okay, you start.
I'll start. It's really redundant. It didn't really improve on any most of the problems that the show had. It just did them again. Chris is asleep. I mean, it's nice to see it in color. Susan's nice. I like Susan a lot. Ian's okay, but way too much. The Doctor is just an imitation, but he's a decent imitation. Barbara does nothing. The Thals are beautiful. And, I mean, it wasn't a bad watch. I wouldn't mind watching it again where I can hear it. Because we were talking a lot and drunk. But it wasn't bad. It was not a displeasurable thing, and I got a lot of laughs out of it. So I'd watch it again.
We had the idea during it, since this is like a remake that is even more 60s-y than the other shows, we'd like to see like new episodes redone in a 60s style. Like the 1960s version of the Weeping Angels or... Because there's like that weird little like knocking scene and it really like was reminiscent of Midnight where they're like, what's out there?
That would be awesome to see.
So internet, hear my suggestion and then do it.
So Ray, since you're talking.
I am talking.
What's your final thoughts?
My final thought is that I'm not as sleepy as a lot of these people that I'm talking to. I watched it. I can't unwatch it. It's a file in my brain now.
You have to live with that. Is that, that's your final thoughts?
Oh, shit. Everyone went away.
And that's the true meaning of Christmas.
Everybody's back now. I don't
that
know what the fuck
weird.
Happened.
Your internet was too Nebraska.
Ray, did you finish your final thoughts?
Where did I leave off? What chapter?
I don't know. Did you say it all? Just say your final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I watched it. I can't unwatch it. It's a file in my brain now. It's basically, I haven't watched the TV version of the serial for a long time, but it basically hit all the exact same notes. I guess it's like a more orchestral version of a song you already really know. And I would say it wasn't like better. Like we said this before, like the pacing wasn't better. It was just faster.
Vince, final thoughts.
I have a very, very pronounced shortage of thoughts because my brain has fallen asleep. I should not be awake at this hour. It is very late in the morning. I have been awake. I have been to work. And I have been home from work after work. I have been awake all night. And I've been doing this. And my brain doesn't work. So, about the movie, it's not a good movie. But, I mean, it's charming in its way. Peter Cushing is, you know, he's good.
Did being drunk make it more fun? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not drunk.
I'd recommend it. Personally.
So the drunk people liked it better than the teetotaler.
Here's the thing.
I'm going to do Chris next. Chris, final thoughts before you completely pass the fuck out. Come closer to the mic, though.
All right.
Do your final thoughts. Get over here.
All right. This is fun. It's a lot like the Daleks, but not quite as good. The pacing is much better, but the characters are way worse. And it's like, I wish I had, like, this pacing, but with the actual characters of Doctor Who, a Barbara that actually gets to do something, a Susan that isn't like 8, and a Ian that isn't just constantly falling over, and William Hartnell, because I miss William Hartnell. I like Peter Cushing, I miss William Hartnell.
Yeah, I'm just gonna jump in. Yeah, I made it my turn. This movie made a great drinking game, but like beyond that, it's like a less good version of something that I've already watched.
It's like a bad cover?
Yeah. I mean, like, it was fun because we were all watching it and we all had things to say about it, but like...
We all got to sort out technical issues together as a family.
Right.
That's the true meaning of Christmas, kids.
But like, if I just sat down to watch this, I'd ultimately be kind of disappointed. Because like, there's no character to anyone. Everyone just kind of fills the role that they're supposed to fill.
And they hit all the same plot beats.
Yeah, but it's not, you don't care at all. Like, there's one point where one of the Thals gets murdered, and I was like, hey, remember when this emotionally mattered when you watched it in the serial? And now it's just a character that's dying and no one cares? Like, that's the whole movie. It's like, hey, remember when this was done, but I cared about what was happening to people and was sober? Like, it's fun to watch. It was, I had a good time doing the live stream and all that, but it wasn't good.
All right, Jez, final thoughts.
I'm going to say the opposite of what Tony said.
Oh.
Is that if you watch it, it's actually not bad if you're someone that doesn't remember a lot of details. If you don't compare it to the original one because you can't remember half of it, it's actually pretty good.
Is it?
I was sober. That's another thing.
When I mean, me being drunk doesn't have anything to do with whether or not I think it was, like,
decent. I mean,
decent.
You weren't following. I would much rather have had the actual TARDIS crew there because they're much better characters. But if you don't compare the Ians, if you take this new one as a completely different character, I found him adorable. That is true.
The Ian of this movie is delightful.
I think, seriously, the Dick Van Dyke thing is the best comparison you can make. It's like a bisexual Dick Van Dyke.
I gotta say, though, I feel like his slapstick is better than his actual acting, though, because he is super deadpan.
When he is doing...
He did acting?
Yeah, exactly, he did not.
He did a couple acting.
But he did faces.
I am acting.
When he was being silly, it was like, yeah, this is good. But yeah, any other time, it's like, are you attempting to have a human emotion?
Anytime he opened his mouth, it was not good. So any other thoughts, Jess?
This is going to be impossible to listen to because I had a hard time listening just now.
It's going to be fun.
I am so sorry.
It is what it is now.
Or is it?
Joe's problem.
It is.
And now we're going, save our final thoughts for our newest guest slash our first Patreon. Melissa, what's your final thoughts?
My final thoughts? It was... mindless fun, basically. The TARDIS team on the show is much better. Definitely better actors, except for maybe Peter Cushing. I really liked Susan. I liked the Doctor Who's outfit. Suited him for some reason. I hate exposition Daleks like nothing else.
Oh, who doesn't hate them?
Daleks should not be exposition.
Daleks really just shouldn't talk at all. Do everything in mime.
Exterminate is like the only thing in their vocabulary that they should say. Barbara was useless. Ian was funny when he wasn't talking. I like the colours.
Yeah.
The art Daleks with their interior decorating skills.
And the Thals with their makeup skills.
The beautiful Thals in colour. The plot and everything is exactly the same as it is in the television series, done worse, much worse. I don't like that Thal that fell down the cliff survived. He should have died. And I'm never going to shut up about that.
Died from bitchiness poisoning.
He scratched himself on a rock and died of infection.
No headcanon.
Accepted.
I'll put your head in a cannon.
I like how it was Ian who started playing around in the cloak instead of Susan.
Like you said, he's great when he's not...
talking?
Yeah, when he's goofing around.
He is a ball of goops.
All right, I guess that's it.
We did it.
Thanks for listening to our Christmas special.
Merry Christmas, everyone!
Yay!
Yay!
Happy Life Day!
Oh, God, no.
We wish you a Doctor Who-y Christmas. It's really, really great. Don't even worry about it. And go to our website for special bargains.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. I want to say thanks again to Chris Cherry, who is gone. TrueStoriesAboutMe.tumblr.com.
Hey, draw stuff on Chris's face, quick.
We're gonna.
Good. Take pictures.
Thanks to Jez of How to Grow the Fuck Up and Bad Adult Phil and TypesetJez.tumblr.com. Thanks to Ray of RayFriesen.com. Thanks to Vince, who is still awake, and I don't know how, of Swinglish.nu.
Swedish power.
I am hanging on by a thread.
Why? Let's cut that thread, but then you'll still be alive.
Melissa of Malice Rewatches DoctorWho.tumblr.com.
Yay!
And Tony of, and me. Oh,
boo!
Watch a Thon and the Brass on. And also Tiny Adventure Club, which is a thing that they do, and you should check out.
Yeah.
How tiny?
It's really tiny.
Whatever you decide.
TinyAdventureClub.tumblr.com. If you like what you've heard and want to be in on these live streams if we ever do them again, please support us on Patreon at patreon.com/watchathon. And thanks for listening. And visit us at watchingrasslon.com. That's one R.
It's fun.
How many S's? Because I had trouble with that.
Two S's.
How many L's?
The amount that's one. In the word. Like it sounds.
We'll be back.
I'll type how I want to type.
We'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Reginald scheduled.
Yes.
As opposed to the regular schedule.
Reginald scheduled.
We'll be back with, I believe, the Dalek Master Plan. Thanks for listening. We love every one of you.
I'm
sorry we're so drunk.
This is just something different we did for fun. And hopefully you guys had fun listening to it, because I had fun making it.
Yeah.
Zekpod's just this guy, you know?
And I didn't hear most of what anyone was saying, because I was asleep.
And thanks for listening to the Watchathon of Razzalon!
Bye.
You owe me $10.
The Watchathon of something something. It's a theme song that I wrote.
.com.
.com. Bye. Bye. We love
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas. Bye. God bless us,
have
everyone.
Have a tasteful tuna, minty pineapple have things.
We didn't wish. We wish everyone Merry Christmas just so you have it.
Wish them some other holidays, too.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
I'm really worried about it.
Happy Kwanzaa.
What about people who don't celebrate
and
Christmas?
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Groundhog Day.
I said happy holidays.
Happy holidays, motherfucker.
Happy Midsummer.
Right. Happy Hogswatch.
For me, it is going to be Midsummer.
Happy Pony Wednesday.
Christmas is in the middle of summer here.
Hey, wish my son a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy
birthday.
Happy every holiday imaginable.
Happy every day.
No.
All right, I'm stopping now.
Goodbye forever.
Woo.
my lucky number.